Thank you for that introduction, Bob. It's a privilege for us to be here. We love your pastors. I can't figure out how to get this working. I'll just do this. There. Now it's working. We love you, pastors. Love the spirit of this house. This is a great church. And elder at large, well, I can't do much about that. But it's the new year, and so I've decided to give up everything that makes me fat. Pictures, mirrors, scales. Done. No, it's an honor, and I probably say this every time we're here, but you are blessed. You have good leaders in this house, good leaders. And you know, they're good because they love God and they love people. And that's always been Tamana in my heart is, you know, we just love people. We love hanging out with people. And so thank you for letting us come. I'm looking, but I don't see him. He's probably got kids, but I thought the spirit of worship was great this morning. You know, sometimes we think we need to have the big band. Ah, man, we didn't have the drums this morning. No, but we had a little girl that kept the beat solid. It's just a simple way to worship God. And, you know, it's the instrument that stirs our heart as we begin to worship. But whether you have instruments or you don't have instruments, what's the most important thing is the presence of God. Nothing more important. And this is a house that honors the presence of God, desires the presence of God, pursues the presence of God. And I always think of Moses in Exodus 33. When he says, I'm not going to go anywhere unless your presence goes. And that's when God said to him, I'm going to mark you with my presence. You will be a people marked by the... I feel like I said this last time I was here. But I'm a senior, so it doesn't matter. So no problem there. So just before we start, I always have to do this, you know, because I feel like we're family. I want to show you my family. So I have a picture of our tribe. And yeah, so our oldest is 45 and our youngest is 40 and our oldest grandson is 18 and our youngest grandson is 14 months. So, and I have a picture of our grandkids and Tamana and me, and we feel blessed for family. And you know, the beautiful thing is that they love Jesus, they serve the church, and yeah, we're blessed. So just so you know, we do have a family, we're legit, so... So every year, my wife gets a word from God, like one word for the year. And she's had some amazing words, things like flourish. Like, that's a beautiful word. And it has great things and abundance. And like her word last year, and she feels it's the same this year, is shine. Like, those are beautiful words. And so I thought, well, Lord, I want a word. So a couple of years ago, my word, character. Perfect. You know what God wants to talk to you about. And then last year, my word, discipline. Yeah, like flourish, discipline. Shine. And anyways, so we were hosting a New Year's party. And we have like three couples come over and we have dinner and then we play some games, and then we kind of pray the new year in and just share our thankfulness. And I was thinking, well, Lord, I need a word. I don't have a word for this year. And so I was walking into the garage to get something, and it was just like the Lord put a word on my heart, and that word is devotion. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit. Like I'm on a journey right now, devotion. And this is not fully cooked. So you're just going to get what I feel like the Lord's saying to me. Hopefully I can encourage you this morning. But Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says this, and this is in the Message translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. And Jesus is so welcoming to us. Walk with me. Learn from me. He doesn't say, you know, he's not kind of pushing us down and says, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. If you don't do that, he says, walk with me. Learn with me. Learn the unforced, I love that, rhythms of grace. Because as humans, we can get pretty religious about rhythms of life and the rhythms of grace. And well, you know, if you haven't read your Bible today, you know, you're not a Christian anymore. And if you haven't, like we kind of hold these things and we get very, very religious. And yet here's our Lord and Savior who loves us, and he says, these are unforced rhythms. If you walk with me and learn from me, these things will just become a part of who you are and a part of your life. And that's what I love about this passage. And, you know, devotion, I'll probably say this a few times, because we all know, I hope you know, that we all do devotions. I'm not talking about doing devotions. We can all do that. And in some ways, that becomes a forced rhythm of life because, oh, I haven't done my devotions today. I don't know if I'll make it through the day, and I don't know if God will love me by the time I get to dinner. We put those pressures on us. I'm not talking about doing devotions. It's not about what we do for God, but who we are becoming in Him. It, to me, is the heart of true discipleship. A life fully surrendered, passionate, and consistent in following Jesus. So I want to talk a little bit about what this means to me. And like I told you, this is not fully cooked. But before we start, I want to pray. And we've already had this so much, and even like from the beginning and from prayer this morning, I'll say it this way, Jehovah Rapha is here, the God who heals. And, you know, the guest speaker, not the healer. Your pastor, not the healer. Even the people that pray for you, not the healer. That's the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah Rapha. So what I'd like you to do, just for a minute, as we start, I'm going to ask you to put your hands like this. I love to do this. I believe in this. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit. Now, you might think, well, I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, but every day, you need that fresh filling. Jesus calls it rivers of living water. Rivers are not stagnant, but they're flowing. Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit every day, ongoing, be filled. And so for these moments, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we invite you this morning. We know you're here. But Father, we make room in our hearts, in our souls, for the work of your Spirit. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh, fill us new. Create in us freshness and newness. And God, I pray through the words in the scripture that we would be stirred in our hearts to learn those unforced rhythms of grace. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Devotion means love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, thing, or a cause. And as I thought of this word devotion, these are things, and I hesitate to tell you because my wife's here and then she'll hold me to it. But I'm just so you know, I'm going to focus on devotion to God this morning. But there's things or people in our life that we maybe need to reconsider. What does it mean for me to be devoted to my wife? Gentlemen, you already heard the announcement. You know what I do? I'm sorry. My gift is rambling, but you know that. For Valentine's, I usually make 3 reservations. And when I get home, I'll do it a month in advance because restaurants pack up. And then what I do is for my friends that forget, I give them the 2 I don't want. And a couple of years in a row, my best friend always forgets. And I says, I just happen to have a reservation for you and your wife at this restaurant. You don't even have to tell her that I made it. Hey, and some people, I got people around me say, oh, you know, that's just a commercial holiday. Yes, it is. What a perfect time to celebrate your love with your wife. Who cares whether it's commercial or not? Did you do it the day after? Did you do it the day before? But boy, on Valentine's Day, you sure remember. Anyways, that was just another plug, but there's only 30 tables, and Tamona and I have already booked seats, so there's only 29 now. So, sorry, honey, I'm bringing you here for Valentine's. No. No, it's cold then, though, I think. So, what are you devoted to? What captures your love? What captures your loyalty? What captures your enthusiasm? And I think of, you know, in our culture, you know, of course there's things that are important, family and life and all that, and your job, but man, I know friends, they're so devoted to sports, or they're so devoted to video games. We had a young guy on staff, and he always came to work tired, and I said, how come you're tired? Played video games till 2 in the morning. And I said, stop it! I said, that's dumb. I'm sorry, if you play video games till 2 in the morning, forgive me, but that's dumb. I can't even move my thumbs fast enough, so it doesn't matter. But some people are so devoted to social media and Instagram and Facebook and all of it. Like, we're loyal to that. We love those things. We're actually enthusiastic about those things. Well, I'm this morning hoping that we could be transformed to being more in love with God, more loyal and faithful to their walk with God, and more enthusiastic. And you might think, I'm there. Nope. Listen, I sat down with a young man in your church yesterday and had coffee. He's 57. I can say he's young. And I've known him for 40 years. Dave Ritter. He used to attend the high school that I used to teach at. And it was so great to be able to sit there with this guy who went to high school that I taught at and sit and talk about the Lord and pray together. That's pretty cool for an old guy like me. But we're still in the process of growing and learning more about who we can be. So this thing about devotion, it's not like I've arrived. And, you know, I know sometimes people say, well, you're a pastor. Of course that. Listen, yes, I'm a pastor. But I'm a man that God called that lives like the rest of us and have the same struggles as the rest of us and have to continue pressing in and continually challenging myself and continuing to live out my faith and my walk with Jesus. And so when the Lord put this word devotion on my heart, this year, I'm going to watch and look and study and find out what does it mean for me to live out a life of devotion. And I'm not talking about a devotional life. I'm talking about a life of devotion. You know, our devotional life shouldn't be just slotted into our daily schedule. You know, after your morning workout, before you start the day. But our devotional life is meant to shape the way we think about our body, our job, our family, your social circle, your calendar, everything about us. That's what it should be shaping. This is just the introduction. So it's 10:58. Do you finish at 11? Okay, perfect. I'm on BC time, so it's actually just 10 o'clock now, so we're good. And nobody, I think, would admit this. Maybe I wouldn't admit this. But we try to cram Jesus into a heart that's already filled with stuff. Whether they be idols, you know, we don't have the graven images, but we've got idols. Or even personal hobbies. And for me, after 40 years in ministry, you know, it's easy to reduce your faith to a daily routine instead of a heart captured by grace. So I have 5 thoughts for you this morning to try to encourage you. And this is only the second Sunday of a new year. And what's the series that you're doing? You told me yesterday.
Practicing the Way.
Practicing the Way. This is a good way to start.
Yeah, the rhythm.
Okay, good. I didn't know, so. But here's just 5 thoughts that I'd like to encourage you with. As you just look at 2025, I think 2025 has such a great sound. 2020 was lousy. 2023 is kind of nowhere. 2024, what does that mean? But 2025. When I was in high school, there was a movie that came out called Space Odyssey 2001. And I thought, that is incredible. That's impossible. And here we are. Who would ever have thought 2025? Wow. And I have to make this announcement, but my wife just turned 70, and she looks pretty good for 70. So. Here's the first thing. A life of devotion begins with a deep love of God. Matthew 22:37 and 38. These are my favorite verses, but love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. What more, a life of devotion, if we don't have this deep-seated love for God and who He is and what He's done in our life, if that's not where our loyalty lies and our love is and our enthusiasm is, as we sing praises to God and understand, I love you, God, beyond all and everything else. I wrote this in my notes and it doesn't show up on my iPad, but when was the last time, and this seems like a stupid question probably, but I've grappled with this, and I do it regularly, but when was the last time, outside of singing a song in church, that you said, I love you, Jesus? Seems kind of simple, eh? I think this was a few years ago, but I just decided whenever I start praying, you know, in my personal prayer time and stuff like that, I'm going to start by saying, I love you, Jesus. It's easy to sing, and we can do lots of stuff to show Him, but to just say, I love you, Jesus, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. True devotion starts in your heart. We can't serve or follow God effectively unless we first love Him with everything we have. So ask yourself, do you love God deeply? Because our devotion to God flows out of our personal affection and relationship with him. And I think it's Spurgeon that says this, it's not a duty, it's a delight. What a privilege that we have to be before Almighty God and say, I love you, God. I love who you are. I love what you've done for me. I love that I am who I am. So I encourage you, as you're going into the new year, take time, worship and praying, expressing your love to God. Let your heart become aligned with his heart. The second one is this: a life of devotion requires consistent time with God. This is where we get to the devotional, right? Because it's a life of devotion, but at the same time, well, we read in Scripture, Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Often, Jesus would step out of the busyness and all of the stuff, and he'd step out of the healing and the feeding people and the, you know, walking from city to city. He'd step out of that to a lonely place. One translation says he would go into the wilderness and he would pray to his Father in heaven. So in the midst of talking about a life of devotion, we also need to carve out time. And I know this is hard, right? We are busy. We got heavy schedules. We got stuff and all of those kinds of things. I'm always reminded of Susanna Wesley, who had 19 kids. And they would say, the story says that she would sit in the kitchen and she'd pull her apron over her head and spend time with God. That would be her wilderness. That would be her lonely place. But can you imagine 19 kids? Like, that's crazy. I know people that have 4 and 5, and I go, that's crazy. So, yeah, it's like having a football team and spares. So, but Jesus often did. And though he was fully God, he still needed time alone with the Father to stay strong spiritually. If Jesus prioritized that kind of time, how much more should we? And again, it's not a one-time decision. It's a daily commitment that we carry out consistent time in God's word, prayer, and worship. I'm a scheduled guy, and not everybody is, but I would encourage you to find a specific time that you can do it each day and make it as kind of a non-negotiable in your daily routine. And that's hard to do. I get it. But there's a value in that part of this devotional life, or life of devotion, is having these times where you're actually pressing in a wilderness or lonely place. My third thought is this: a life of devotion is demonstrated through obedience. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. I hope you see where I'm going. Like this, a life of devotion isn't just saying, I love you, God, but it's making it a part of every daily routine, everything you do. There's this thought and expression, I love you, God. I loved it this morning. Len just sits there and he says, I just woke up this morning, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And not everything's perfect. I have a friend who 10 years ago, he's 73 now, I think, 10 years ago, he had a quadding accident and is paralyzed from the waist down. And that radically changes your life at 63 years old, confined to a wheelchair, all sorts of complications, all that kind of stuff. But when he was in the rehabilitation center, he felt the Lord speak very clearly to him that he needed to be thankful. And in the midst of, he couldn't do anything then. They were just teaching him how to do a wheelchair. And in the midst of all of that, he developed or created this attitude of thankfulness for everything that he did have and everything around him and who God was. And to this day, 10 years later, he struggles with certain pains and issues and stuff. He's one of the most faith-filled, positive, thankful men that I know. And it's not easy. But he is such an inspiration to people around him. In John chapter 14, Jesus says this, verses 19 to 21. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Think about this. Obedience, as we follow Jesus, is when he begins to reveal himself to us in our obedience. And obedience becomes that part of devotion. We do this because we love him. This is not forced. He's not saying this, this, this. He says, I love you. If you love me, obey my commands, and I'll reveal myself to you. What a life of devotion. True devotion is not just in our words, but it's in our actions. Jesus links in these passages love and obedience together. Our devotion to God is proven through our willingness to obey his commands. I don't know how to say this. But just as an application, maybe there's an area in your life where you feel you haven't been obedient. I would just encourage you, when you go home this afternoon or, you know, the next week as you're processing some of these thoughts, just ask him, Lord, where have I not been obedient? And would you help me change that? Again, you know we can't do this on our own. We desperately need the Holy Spirit to do these things. The fourth one is this. A life of devotion leads to serving others. Matthew 25, he says this. And he's telling them, you know, about feeding the poor and the hungry and those in prison. And he says, when did we ever see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. A life of devotion in serving others, you're doing it unto the Lord. You're doing it unto Jesus. And I quote this a lot in leadership, but in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 28, but in 27, you know, if you want to be first among this group, you're going to have to be the servant of all. And then he finishes that passage in verse 28, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. That is a life of devotion, serving others. You know, I know this church is a serving church, but just begin to take it beyond the walls of the church. Who are the people that you can serve and just show Jesus to as you're devoted to Christ and living a life of devotion? And just out of that flows this heart's desire, how can I help you? What could I do for you? How can I serve you? What are the things that we can do outside even of the church? Quite frankly, it's easy sometimes to serve in the church, but to find ways to serve outside of the church, because those are the people that will begin to see Jesus in your life. Devotion to God leads us to care for those around us. It's not just about what we receive from God. It's also how we reflect His love by serving others. And my last thought this morning is a life of devotion leads to spiritual fruit. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." To me, that's pretty obvious, right? Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So he says, live in me, and I'll live in you, and you will produce much fruit. How much more can we see that as a life of devotion to God? God, I'm going to live in you. You're living in me. Apart from you, Jesus, I can do nothing. But with you, Jesus, much fruit. I know we all desire that. I know, you don't get into numbers and stuff, but as a church, this has always been my heart, but I just long to see people come to know Jesus. I long for that. Like, isn't that what we're called to? And a life of devotion to God should just automatically stir that desire to see people come to know Jesus. I can't remember where I was, but we were having this conversation, and I just remembered Paul in Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The message of Jesus that we carry in us, the gospel message, the good news that's within us, that should just exude out of us as we live a life of devotion to God. I have to say, I'm really challenged by this. Like, this is me sharing with you what I'm trying to learn. So I'm not up here saying, hey, you guys, I got this figured out. This is what you should be doing. I decided not to jump into this word devotion and think, I know what this is. So I've been actually searching the scriptures. I've been going through things. I've been, listening to different things, because if this is truly going to be my life this year, living a life of more devotion, I need to really figure out what that looks like for me. And it is different for all of us. These things that I've just shared with you are, I think, they're things that come out of a life of devotion that we should expect to see. Starting with the heart of this heart deeply rooted in the love of God and deeply committed to spending time with Him. And then we begin to see the outflow of this taking place when we see serving others and caring for others and seeing people come to know Jesus. Like, we live a life of devotion to God. I am loyal to God. I am enthusiastic about God. I love God with my whole heart. And can I just say, this is not about trying harder. It's about remaining connected to Jesus. Jesus produces the fruit in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Again, I just want to have you ask yourself the question, are you producing fruit in your life? It's not because you have to do more work. Can I just say that to you? It's not because, Dave says, are you producing fruit? And I'm not producing fruit. I got to go out. No. Jesus says, abide in me. Let me say it in my words. Live a life of devotion to me, and you'll see the fruit. How can we not see the fruit when we live a life of devotion? Worshiping Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. He invites us into a deep personal relationship with Him. And we often just associate it with the church service. But you guys, it goes way beyond that. way beyond that. Recognizing the importance of worshiping Jesus and embracing a lifestyle of love and adoration and devotion empowers us to deepen our faith and exemplify Christ-likeness to others, including those in the least suspected areas of our life, where the good news hasn't even been and people haven't heard. That's who God has called us to do. Not just a devotional life, but a life of devotion. I'd like to pray for you this morning, and I don't think I'll call you up if that's all right, but just where you're seated, maybe just stand with me. I got a new knee and I've had to stand for the last 45 minutes, so you may as well join me before mine gets so stiff. And I'm not going to tell you what you should do. My son-in-law, who's leading our church now, takes the elders and our staff through this all the time. Remember, reflect, and rejoice. And I just want to encourage you this morning. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about your life of devotion? What areas do you feel Jesus is saying, you can walk with me in that area of your life? Or you can learn this from me in this area of your life. And you can learn the unforced rhythms of grace by walking with Jesus. And if you're in that place and maybe this has resonated in your heart, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand right where you are. And I want to pray for us. God is looking for men and women that are devoted to Him, that give their lives completely to Him. Father, this morning we humble ourselves in Your presence. And we know in and of ourselves we can't do anything. But God, this morning we do commit ourselves to living a life that reflects our devotion of You, our great love, our loyalty to You and Your truths. God, our enthusiasm for Your presence and the work of Your Spirit. Oh, Lord God, as we stretch out our hands to You this morning, we just again say, come and fill us, empower us, enable us, stir us, that we would live lives fully devoted to You this year. 2025, that people begin to see the church as people that are devoted to their God. And God, in our devotion to You, we begin to see the outflow of the work of Your Spirit. Lord God, I pray that over in Joy Life Church. I thank You for the hearts of these people. God, we give our hearts to You, and we say this morning, Jesus, we love You. Just in Your own words, Jesus, I love You from the depth of my heart. Jesus, I love You. Your name, the name above every other name, the name that draws my attention, the name that is requiring my devotion, I give to You. Father, may Your blessing rest upon this house. God, may the power of Your Spirit continue to work. And even as we're here, Jehovah Rapha, just touch those that need that healing. In this very moment, fall upon them by the power of Your Spirit. And in the name, the most powerful name, the name of Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.